right, welcome to Just Kicking It Soccer Podcast, where we talk soccer, football, only the way that we can, and the way to relate it to the people that they can relate to it. That's, you know, we take the hard parts of it, make you want to watch it and have fun.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Appreciate everybody tuning in. We back.
Yeah, man. The Dallas snowstorm treating you all right, man?
Yeah, man. I done thawed out, man. You know, we got up 70, 80 degrees. Actually, this weekend, we should be hitting 80, man. So all is well. I'm back in the mix, man.
All right, man. We got some mailbag questions here, man. So let's jump in this before we jump in our topics. All right. First one comes from Justin Robinson. He says, this podcast is something I've been looking forward to seeing. Actually, brothers that's breaking down the brackets of the way the Champions League can be, and also just letting me know what's going on in other leagues. I really only kept up with La Liga for most of my life, but seeing you all talk about the Premier League, Serie A, and Bundesliga as well keep me on point. Now, my question to you all is, going to you all's idea of the Super League, within this Super League that you all have constructed and came about with, what would be some different rules changes that you all would be in there compared to a typical FIFA? Or do you think FIFA will not let typical rules convey?
I'll go first, man.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think FIFA will allow anything that's going to grow the game and create dollars and revenue within the game. So, I mean, if there's advertising money to be made, you know, from sponsorships and just, you know, the ability to grow the game, grassroots and beyond, I think that's always a positive thing for the health of FIFA long-term and as an organization. Rule changes, that's a little bit more of a tricky situation. I'm not sure if I can think of an imminent rule change that would be coming, minus something related to VAR being involved or not involved.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking some with VAR. What about maybe substitutions, like where it's five for that league instead of your standard three in league?
Substitutions, I guess that's a possibility. I could see some pros and cons to that. But at this Super League level, I'm thinking that you're going to be putting your best 11 out there anyway. I mean, I guess, you know, injuries and the pace of the game could dictate where having more subs might be a valuable piece. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'm thinking that as well. I'm even saying going out the window with it where you add an extra 10 minutes to each half.
Oh, that's a stretch. Well, what's the benefit of doing that?
We just got more. We play more time. This is the Super League.
No.
and I'm giving you six substitutions.
Wow. That's pretty generous. I don't know if that really improves the game. I'm not sure if that makes the game more exciting. I think now you just have more deliberate time wasting, trapping balls down in the opposite.
Throw-ins, just sitting there kind of like playing around with the throw-ins.
And then if you are going to increase the substitutions like you're proposing, now you just stretch out how long it takes a sub to come on. That eliminates your extra 10 minutes right there. So I'm not sure.
So six subs would give you the 10 minutes, you're saying?
Easily. Yeah, absolutely.
So what do you think? I mean, the other things you think FIFA would come up with, they'll be like, hey, this is going to be different in this league.
Well, man, I would hope, you know, for this sort of league, the profile of the players, the kind of money, the ownership would be ponying up that, you know, maybe you figure out a way to recruit the best of the best referees. Perhaps there's something, a better grading scale or promotion, relegation, even within referees, even more hands-on than what we have right now. Because I'll be honest with you, man, I don't necessarily know what a foul is anymore. I don't know what a handball is anymore. And I mean, you can barely celebrate a goal because, I mean, you just don't know if it'll stand anymore. So,
like, I feel like they give out yellow cards too quickly and don't give out enough reds. I be seeing plays and I be like, yo, that is egregious. And you, like, you give him a yell, like, that's like, come on. Like, the dude is straight up hurt right here, like, for real. It's not even like no game and you gave him a yellow.
And, you know, again, I would agree with that. And I think that's where your higher quality referees come into play, where, you know, people getting yellow cards in the second minute of a game. You know, I mean, that's just insane. You know what I mean? And like you're saying, then that eliminates, I mean, now the referee has to make a decision. Is it more about, do I want to send this guy off, or how bad was the foul? That sort of thing. I just want to see the letter of the law return. And I think, you know, higher quality refereeing, you know, allows that to happen.
Like, I mean, the rule of the law is basically if it's not intentional, it's a yellow card. But if you impeded them or hurt them, that's a yellow. If you are intentional, like if I'm running and I'm gone and you just pull me down by my shoulders, that should be a red card. I was literally gone and you pulled me down. That's a red card.
Okay, I can give you that. But I also remember the rule, any tackle from behind is an automatic red card. Or preventing an obvious goal scoring opportunity is an automatic red card. And that's not necessarily the case anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, because you'd be like, it's, like I said, if I'm running towards you and it's me one-on-one and you come up from behind me and pull me back, that should be a red card. And you'd be like, and sometimes you're not even getting yellows.
Absolutely right. And also just like on the defending, you know, when you start talking about a handball, you know, now you start having to break down and define natural hand movements. Is it a soccer play? I mean, these are things that are highly subjective. I mean, you see some of the defenders with the arms behind their back, mm-hmm. you know, some of them trying to hold arms down to their side. And then, you know, some guys who are running, moving, arms are moving. And now you're asking a referee in a split second to determine, is it a natural hand movement or not? I mean, what's the difference between running here and if you run with the elbow out a little bit, you know, those sorts of things, man.
I don't get it.
And is a deflection that touches your arm, is that a handball? Depends on the day.
They needed to go back and like literally have like what did the Christians have when they decided what books of the Bible the Council of Nicaea. Like we need to go have a Council of Nicaea, like, all right, this is what we're gonna just stamp it down. All right, if you decided or not, we just need to have a true definition across the board.
I think so. And I have been hearing that something like that is actually supposedly coming. But you know, us as football fans, man, you know, frustration with the rules and how the game is refereed is just a never-ending problem. Never.
All right. Next up, this one is from T. Wiggy on Twitter. He says, who do you all have as the top four teams for the European Cup? Ooh, I'm assuming he's talking about the summer European, nationals.
Oh, the Euros.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Ooh, that's a pretty good one. You want to go first?
I mean, I still think Ronaldo's got another run in him, man. The only reason I say that is the squad he's got around him. I'm not necessarily saying him, but he's going to have Bruno Fernandes, while Felix, he's going to have a nice back line with what's my homeboy, Pereira. Isn't Oblak Portuguese?
I believe so.
He's got the pieces to be David Robinson going to get double rings real quick, where you didn't think David Robinson would have the ability to get another set of rings. But it's like he's still David Robinson, but it's like, you know, your rest of your squad was sitting there nice with like Tony Parker and everybody else.
I mean, you've been really big on this Portugal squad for a while now.
Yeah, man. I think Wild Felix, man, he is underutilized at Atletico.
I do like him a lot. I do like him a lot, pulling the strings.
Yeah.
Creative.
And it takes, because he's used, and that's why Suarez was getting off at first for so much.
He just hit his 500 goal club, you know, so that's a big achievement.
Yeah, Suarez is looking, he's looking like he's vintage. That's because he's got a good playmaker on that wing now.
And La Liga allows that as well. You know, I mean, that definitely allows for that. Man, I think those are some pretty good picks. I mean,
Belgium. Belgium is my other one. That's an easy one because they're number one in the world.
Right for me. That's where I was going. Belgium straight away with Kevin De Bruyne.
Tielemans. They got him. Yeah. Tielemans.
Yep. And then they got good strikers up front. Solid
Lukaku.
Defenders. Exactly. So I kind of feel like those are good guys. I always like Germany. I feel like they reload.
Because they're going to roll out a squad.
They're going to reload. I guess my dark horse would be France. I think they just have so much athletic talent.
It's just like, are they going to play together, though? That's the thing about them.
You got it. If they ever put it all together, it'd be hard to stop.
They're the best team name-wise in the whole thing. It's just that I don't know who's going to – is Griezmann going to be okay? Is what Griezmann's gonna show up?
You never know. And they're prone to do infighting. So many prima donnas. So
as
many
you said, guys. As you always said before, there's only one ball. And you got to think, you got Griezmann, Mbappe, Pogba, Martial. What's your boy? Your CDM?
Kante.
And I'm missing people on that front. I know they got another person on that front. They got like 12 people up front that they're gonna have to rotate.
Giroud at Chelsea. I mean, he's gonna long in the tooth, but let him tell it. He deserves to be there.
Yeah, you know? But I'm saying it's got enough. I don't even know. Honestly, they've let the World Cup previously. They just overrush people on athleticism and just straight.
And that's being fueled by that African pipeline, that African that you always talk about. Base. Let's never forget that. That's what's fueling them and really giving them a chance to compete with some of these teams that are actually a bit more skilled. So I like those guys as well.
I mean, what do you think about Poland as a sneaker? If Lewandowski just goes off, could he pull it off?
It's possible. I think he needs a little more help, but they do have some young pieces that I like. You know, I just playing on FIFA, man. They got some players that I like on the come up. But also England, man. England, I never want to rule them out, man, because they start so young. They're so organized.
They got some dope players, too.
They got the youth system in place where that could really work.
Like, I always don't trust that. I just always haven't trusted England in a tournament format, though. They've always disappointed. Like,
it's they're always a crapshoot. You know, you'll hit snake eyes easily.
I mean, they'll tie the U.S. in a year with, like, when they had Rooney. All of, like, that was no reason for them to tie the U.S. Yeah, that year.
It should have never been that close. Absolutely
right. And the crazy thing is, us, the American soccer fan that doesn't know anything, is like, oh, no, we're straight. Like, yeah, we tied. And like, no. They played down for us to get that draw. Like, that wasn't supposed to be. That wasn't like a great feat. That was one team not playing well.
Yeah, exactly. And like you said, playing down to the level of competition, those guys are easily guilty of that. Definitely.
Yeah, because we have I just want to go through this roster real quick for France, just because I'm just interested to run through it. So Mbappe, Griezmann, Giroud, like you said, Pogba, Lloris is one of Kante, Cavani, Martial, Pavard. Damn, they got Benjamin Pavard. Damn. Coleman, Varney, Luis Hernandez, Matuidi.
Oh, and he is nice, yeah.
Oh, Mendy, your boy Mendy, both Mendy's.
Oh, the defender and the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Upamecano, Raboy, Rabiot, Thauvin. Lingelet. Look, they got a squad, and I'm just scrolling.
And then you might as well add into the mix. There's probably another 3 to 5 players that's playing in the French league right now that deserve a chance to get called up that we don't see on a regular basis, but are wrong.
What about the Dutch squad though, too, man?
Yeah, I kind of put them right there in that same second level with England, where if it clicked, it could work. It could definitely work, but I just don't see them as a favorite.
The team that I think that's fallen off nationally, well, two of them, it feels like Spain and Italy have like taken 2 or 3 steps down.
Yeah, it looks like the teams got old and didn't really reload. Yep.
And they didn't reload. Like when they were running stuff the last few Euro Cups, they were like, oh, we running it, and nobody had behind them to pull up.
Yeah. And another couple of teams that I think are at least fun to watch, and, you know, if the dominoes fall correctly, Scotland could definitely make some noise in there. I think Ireland can beat you on the right day as well.
Wales, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And if Gareth Bale shows up for real, you never know what's going to happen.
That Welsh squad, yeah.
All right, our last question comes from TQ. This is a Twitter question. What do you all think is a harder championship to win? Champions League, Europa, or or your country's league?
Ooh, man. For me, it's Champions League or Premier League.
Yeah, because Champions League is like going to the NCAA tournament. Like, you just, you got, everything's got to kind of go in order, you know,
draws, injuries,
yep,
and people picking up cards can all impact and throw you out of that
and placement of where your games are versus your league games too. Is that PSG game that you're playing them? Is that in between you playing Chelsea and then playing Wolves or somebody, like right in between where you like fuck? Like
that's a real good point, because some of leagues are more forgiving than others for teams in that situation that you're describing, mm-hmm, and allowing them to move games so that they can travel and be rejuvenated, versus other leagues say, hey, the schedule is the schedule, play the fixture, period.
Yeah, we'll move it like a day or two, but we're not moving this whole game totally like 2 weeks.
Right, exactly. And yes. So then depth of the squad comes into the play, you know,
like
how much have you really spent? And you see that, you know, some people can roll out a very expensive starting 11, but then the bench is very thin. But then you see like Man City, where they can go too deep at every position.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's just, it's just, Man City is getting ridiculous at this point. Oh. Cause I mean, it's almost like they got strengthened by them getting off on it's like being a big dope dealer and you getting off like John Gotti. Like you're just gonna start flossing even more. Like, oh, I'm Teflon. Oh, we off? Oh, okay, you better see what it means when we out on bail.
Yeah, hey man, you got to give them a lot of credit, because they really built that squad the right way. Anybody can flash in the pan, but to do it consistently, and like you said, even after taking the thumps on the FIFA fair play rules, I mean, they bounced back from that like nobody's business.
Yeah,
bump in the road.
I just wonder I think it's sustainable, but is it sustainable to gain a fan base? Like I've never heard of Manchester City fan, like ever. I mean, never. Like I've never seen one.
You know, I that's kind of funny that you say that, because outside of people who are truly from Manchester, from that side of the city, you don't really see it. But that's also kind of like related to baseball. I mean, you have people all over the country who are Yankee fans, but like, when's the last time you saw like a Mets fan in Seattle?
Right,
you know what I mean, like,
and like, there's Cardinals fans all over the country too, because of the way the radio was set up with KMOX, it will go out to random places, and that was only baseball games you could hear.
Right,
same thing with like Cubs fans with WGN, where like you may live in Alabama, but that was the only game you could watch was that.
That's right.
And then when Ricky talked about that Liverpool when he was in Jamaica, like that was the only team he could watch was Liverpool. That's how he became a Liverpool fan.
Yeah, only game in town. Yeah, you definitely become a fan. But and just like in certain cities here in the States where like the Clippers and the Lakers, the Clippers are always going to be the little brother, the step brother.
Right, doesn't matter what team they put out there.
Exactly.
Yeah, I just feel like Manchester City is like, I've never met a fan at all. Like this data don't exist. And I heard their ticket sales are horrible too.
I don't know about that. I mean, I think
I know all the Manchester United people joke about that they can't even fill up their own stadium.
Well, you kind of saying it, man, because you're on the wrong side of that thing. But I think Man City has a very strong fan base, because people like to watch exciting players. People want to see goals being scored. Man City delivers that week in, week out, high quality games. You know, you just watch some games, you know, on a Saturday, you're just like, this is kind of boring. Not a whole lot of attempts on goal. Man City's going to give you attempts on goal. You can guarantee that.
That's so true.
I mean, if it's all the same, am I going to go watch Burnley, or am I going to go buy that ticket to the Etihad and go watch Manchester City? It's a higher quality game for sure at Manchester.
All right, so let's get into the topics, man. You brought up one, laying down the wall, a new phenomenon. Laying down behind the wall, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, laying down behind the wall. Have you seen this? I've seen it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I saw this recently. I was like, has that always been going on? And I just didn't know that was a rule. Like, it's like when the rules, like, I didn't know you could do that. Like,
well, I mean, I guess it's a strategy you could deploy. But that definitely was not something that I saw growing up as a kid, like playing the game. Watching the game in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s. That's why I said it's kind of a new phenomenon to me. I think it makes some sense. You know, I mean, the problem always was, you know, you want the wall to be unified. You want the wall to be tight, the correct angle, you know, to cover as much of the goal for your keeper as you possibly could. But now with how creative these guys are with these pre-kicking teams.
Kess is jumping right over the ball. Because that's what happened to Porto game. That's what happened in the Porto game. And they was like, man, they should have put somebody below the wall. I'm like, wow. So hold on. Y'all getting mad about a tactic that's brand new that they didn't employ?
Hey, man. But I mean, it sucks to be that guy where you literally like throwing your skull out there. Just, you know what I mean? Like, hey, that's dedication.
You should get a little helmet or something. Like, all right, hey, man, pass me that helmet real quick for this next play.
Hey, you know, CTE is going to happen to somebody getting struck. You know what I mean?
Or in your ribs or something, man.
Easily. Yeah.
Really? Are they really like, I guess maybe it's a preventative thing, and like, because nobody's really going to try to test that bottom. Is that the thing that people kind of like, it's really here to fake you out to not do a low one? Well, but no, is anybody really going to take a shot at the bottom?
I've seen people that have tried to be, you know, slick and, you know, make you think they're shooting for a corner, and then the wall jumps and they will strike it hard along the ground, and it causes your goalkeeper some problems because that's
No, I'm talking about if with the player laying there, do you rethink it like, dang, okay, I was gonna try to do that. And like nobody ever tests hitting the dude at the bottom. Like, what I'm saying? Like it's like, all right, they got me locked in on that area. But somebody's gonna be slick and try to go after it and like try to get deflection or something.
Oh yeah, no, it will happen. I mean, but hey, I mean, I guess that's part of the game, you know, strategies always, you know, come up and we'll see if it sticks or not. Long term, time will tell.
Yeah, I mean, they were going at Juve for not having somebody in the wall. I was like, how do y'all get mad about somebody not employing something that we didn't know you could do?
Yeah, it really sucks to be that guy. You know what I mean? Like
who gets thrown out there for that?
You got to be a disposable player where coach is like, hey.
do you want to get subbed out, or do you want to go into that wall?
Yeah, is that a weak link position? I think it has to be.
Got to. But what position would you sacrifice if that person do get hurt? That's a hard one. Like, am I going to sacrifice a center back?
It's got to be like a left back or right back. Or a wing back. That's probably your best bet. Yeah, for that. Yeah.
Because you don't want your middle to be hurt.
No.
So next up, man. We talked about before we started the U.S. prospects, man, being on the rise. And you had a good analogy for like kind of how U.S. soccer is getting hyped up, but like with Dest signing on, I forgot the young kid that just signed on from Valencia, and he's like 17 or 18. Like everybody's super young.
That's
the thing. Like there's only one, I think the oldest player is Yedlin. They said Yedlin and Steffens are the two oldest players on the U.S. team, and they're 28 and like 26.
I mean, I think that's a good thing overall for the, you know, for club and, you know, for the country, I should say. You know, this youth movement, this resurgence of youth, and these guys have been in the system and grown up in the system now. And this is what we used to talk about in the mid and late 90s was developing, like, you know, that facility down there in Florida where they could live and go to school and play the game and have access to the, you know, top-notch facilities and coaching, you know, from a very early on to be able to compete with these European powers, you know. So I'm kind of happy, and I see it like we were talking about a little earlier before the show began. The pipeline of prospects is what's developed. It's not that the U.S. team has necessarily made some major strides to compete with these world powers. I think what's happened is they've developed a pipeline of youth and quality coaching of the youth, and we're starting to see some fruit of that labor with like Dest over there in Barcelona. Like the other guy you're talking about at Valencia.
His name is Yunus Musa.
Yep. Yeah, Musa. You're starting to see those guys shine. And that's exciting, man. I mean, that tells me the future's bright.
Yeah, I mean, they said that he could have played for U.S., Ghana, Italy, or England.
Hey, that's saying a lot, man.
He's only 18. He's starting for Valencia, I guess.
Yeah, we have seen players flip-flop in the past, but hey, at least he's on the right side of
it. How many times can you do that, though? You only can do it twice?
I think you get it twice, and I think you have up to a certain, there's an age limit where you can't change affiliation anymore.
Okay. And I was like, I just be a free agent all the time. Like, okay, thanks. I do that. My grandma is part Spanish, man. Like, let me go and get on the Spain.
Well, like, you've seen that, like, Diego Costa from Chelsea, you know, first he was Brazilian, now he's Spanish.
Right. And that's not even the same language. You'd have to go to Portugal for it to really like make sense.
You know what it really boils down to is like, who's going to allow me to get on the field? You know what I mean? What's the easiest path to get on the field? And if I can get on the field, who's going to give me the best opportunity to win? I think that's what these guys, you know.
Yeah, it looks, I mean, they have a squad coming up, man. I mean, we'll see how it applicable to, I won't believe it until they can win at Mexico City. That like if they can win in Mexico City, then it's like, oh, okay, y'all for real.
And that's a good benchmark, I think. I mean, with the altitude, you know, of the Azteca, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? That's always been the hurdle for the U.S. team. If you can perform what 100,000 is that?
Yeah, altitude, I don't want this COVID Mexico City win though. I need a full on 2024 Mexico City win, not a 2021. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it needs to be like them boys at you, getting at you out there.
Yeah, it needs to be the real deal with the fans and the pomp and circumstance and everything that comes along with it. Because even when you go down there to those games in Mexico City, you know, the Mexicans, they'll stand out there chant and sing outside of your hotel all night long. Right. Just so you don't get a good night's sleep, you know what I mean? And then egg the bus.
Right.
You know, on your way there, you know what I mean? So, hey, it'll happen.
Yeah, so that's when I know, I'm like, okay, they for real then. If they bust this out. Yeah, so like, yeah, that. Shout out to that Musaf. What was his name? I didn't say his name. Just say
Musa.
Yeah, Musa.
And yeah, shout out to Des, man. 2 goals on the weekend from a right back.
yeah, man. He's kind of lethal out there, man.
And linking with Messi, I mean, with one of the great. I mean, man, I'm happy to see that, man.
I guess I wanted this one added in there. Is the Messi train over? Is he Messi gonna stay now? You think?
It's really, really hard to say, man.
It seemed like the Haaland thing. We're gonna get in there in a second here. It seemed like the Haaland thing has usurped him as the go-to who we trying to grab this summer thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think rightfully so. I mean, yeah. Messi's a magician, you know, and a legend. Don't get me wrong, but you know, he's on the tail end of the career. Everybody needs the hot, young, up-and-coming prospect, and that's what Haaland is. You know, Messi, he's almost like LeBron, where he's got his own little bubble. So you only know what he wants you to know, sort of thing. And that's why we're not really hearing a whole lot about what's going to happen next.
Oh, you're saying, because you're saying his people keeping it tight to the vest, not necessarily people not talking about grabbing him. It's just that he's not letting anything leak.
Yeah, he controls and orchestrates over there just like a LeBron James would. You're not going to hear anything about LeBron James unless he wants you to hear
it. Got you. That makes sense. That's a good point. So you think the same case with Ronaldo, or you think it's different with him?
I think Ronaldo's in the same boat, but I think he's also a different type of player and like embraces the spotlight more.
Yeah, he likes to hear the rumors that other teams want him. Like
he likes his name in the mix, the controversy, you know, on the back.
Is he going back to Man U? Is he going back to Real Madrid? I don't know. Like
exactly.
Every interview is like, I would love to go back to Real Madrid. I would love to go back to Man U.
I mean, you can even tell, like, even in the women that they've decided to be with. I mean, Ronaldo does the model that's controversial, or what she got going on and her campaigns and whatnot.
And he's got a surrogate kid he had to pay somebody to have a kid for him, and then he took custody.
Yeah. It's that Kim K. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we can't blow this all the way up.
And that dude's trying to physically engineer his own, like, children, dog. Like, oh, you 6 foot? Hey, like, hey, look, I got a plan for you. You want $1 million? I want to engineer this kid with you.
That's incredible, man. But like, if you look at Messi, on the other hand, man, you never hear nothing about his wife, homemaker, quiet, lip zip. You know what I mean? So they're just two different players.
So let's get into this Haaland thing, man. It's like, yo, he's going to go to every team at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you listen to the media, you read the newspapers, the websites, man, he's got a flight booked everywhere. But what I do believe, you know, that he is being very honest and truthful about is if Borussia Dortmund cannot offer him Champions League football next year, he's got to go. And I mean, for him at his age, that's the tournament you want to be in. You know, that's where you want to be seen. So I think the door is closing at Dortmund. And I think that's just really opening up things for your club, my club, and the rest of the gang chase.
I'm getting tired of him, man. Of course, if he signed, it'll be great. It's like the girl we all trying to holler at the club, and you're like, man, I'm getting tired of trying to talk to her, man. Are you finna holler or what, man? I mean, it's like 12 dudes up in here all trying to pop. It's all good. I'll fall back. You know what I'm saying? I'll fall back. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to play this all day.
Right. It's only so much energy I can
get. Yeah, it's getting tired. And the Sancho thing got a bad taste in my mouth still. So I'm just like, yo, I ain't believing nothing until that dude's holding up a jersey.
I mean, you know, that's a really good analogy, and I definitely understand where you're going from. But sometimes, shorty be so bad, you be like, hey, I got it. I'm not leaving here tonight without taking a shot.
I said, shorty, so bad. You like, look, I don't care. I'm going to shoot my shot and see what happens.
Yeah, we all been there. Oh,
100%. 100%. So, I mean, this Haaland thing, I don't even know. It can be, I mean, he could go anywhere he wants at this point. It's just, everybody will pay whatever he wants. I figured at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think he can write his own ticket. You know, now the things that you got to start kind of considering is like, what's the impact on your club? You know, what other things are you going to have to sacrifice to bring him in? And I think it's also important that he's at the right club with the right sort of young talent around him. So where it's a project, they can build something together, which is why Chelsea.
Oh, of course, here we go.
See how I'm doing it? Because
are you on the Tuchel bandwagon now, or is he still such a,
you know, he's still undefeated. He's still undefeated. So I mean, you know, I think there are worse decisions that could be made. I'm not 100% sold on him just yet, but he is building a case though, a serious case.
So he's still interim, right?
He is, yeah. Ownership's not going to make a decision until
after the season ends. Yeah. I mean, Haaland would be cool. But I just have a bad feeling, man, he going to Manchester City. Like, it just feels like this is a setup for us to nobody to win the Premier League again for like 3 or 4 years. Like, it feels like that because they just got the paper. They already got the squad for you. Look, you're going to be able to put in 40 goals maybe if you go to Man City. 40.
He will definitely score goals for fun at Manchester. Look,
De Bruyne is going to get you every cross you want. And then Raheem Sterling's going to run the ball to Salah every time for you. You just got to stand there.
Hey, I'm not against that. I mean, you make a good point.
But I would hate it, but it'd be fun as hell to watch them play.
And I would too. But the other thing that you got to remember is a lot of people don't want to live in Manchester, man. That's not a desirable
That's true.
Place. London is where a guy like him would want to be at that age, man, and on the level, you know, globally where he's at. How much more money will he make off the field in London versus in Manchester?
I mean, but if you got paper like that, man, it really, and London's not that big. You straight. It ain't that big of a deal.
I don't know, man.
Manchester ain't nowhere, man. And I mean, my thing is with him is if you want to get real glory, you will come to us. You will want to come to Manchester United for the full on glory, the full rollout. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not fine with that. I actually have a better marketing plan for somebody you're going to be mad about that I'm going to mention now that I am. I am starting the bandwagon for this player to come to Manchester United.
Lay it on me.
Big Daddy Harry Kane, I think he needs to come on down. It is set up. The Spurs is not going to be nothing. They might not even make Europa. Them pockets is already low. They built that stadium they can't keep that paper with. See, let's get them.
I could actually see that, right? Because I'm not a super Harry Kane fan. I know you are.
I've become a Harry Kane fan. I wasn't previously, but he has started to get better and better to me.
He's a high quality player. Don't get me wrong. I think he's an asset. And I actually think he does make sense at your club. Starting to age out, right? Because mm-hmm. what he's got to be, what, 27, 28 now?
He's 27. I think he's 27.
Okay, so he's at that age, right? And I think he fits well with your club with some of the more mature veteran guys. I think he fits in.
Yeah,
really
you got to think that he basically would have two sons with Greenwood and Rashford throwing the rock in there.
And plus, you guys are known to overpay. So, you know, that's
we
right
will
up
overpay,
your
100%. You're going to get right your ducats. We gonna make sure you're straight.
Overpaying for all the wrong reasons. I mean, that's not
that's
something.
That's fine. But when we win the Champions League with Big Daddy Harry Kane, we'll be fine.
I want to mark your words on that.
If we got Harry Kane and nothing else crazy happens, like Haaland going to Man City, that's the only caveat I put against that. We would win the Premier League. I would guarantee you could put my stamp on it.
You are incredibly delusional, man.
Okay, so you don't think if we got Harry Kane and we kept our same core unit and got our center back or in a CDM that we would not win the league? There is no way possible we would.
This is the same guy. Your club, did you see your manager this past weekend?
He got an extension.
You got knocked out of the FA Cup and he's smiling just as happy.
Right, because we're tired, man. We tired. We played the most games in the Premier League.
I just don't understand it.
We played the most games in the Premier League. We tired, man. We like, you know what? We finna go and get this Europa. Nobody cares about the FA Cup for real. You know what I'm saying? Especially during COVID, because nobody's going to be able to celebrate with it. So why don't we just rest up players?
I've been telling you the FA Cup's overrated for a really long time. But you got excited about the FA Cup.
No. Last year I did because it was just, we ain't had nothing to do. And it was just like.
Don't get me wrong. It's always nice to lift a trophy, no matter what the trophy
is. I think the FA Cup is worth more than the Carabao Cup, right?
I would say yes. Yeah.
Like if we're going to throw one away, which is the whole thing they're trying to think about throwing one away, it's going to be the Carabao, right?
I would hope so. The FA Cup's been around a couple hundred years. So, yeah, I wouldn't want
to. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. And Haaland's not going to Chelsea, man. He's not going there. I'm fine with that. No, wait, he's not going to go there. Like I said, I'm dropping dime on y'all if he goes there. Y'all got what are we doing here? Y'all just signed Timo Werner. Y'all just got Mendy. Y'all just got Havertz. Y'all just got is it Thiago?
Thiago Silva.
Yeah. What's going on, man? No. I don't like this. No.
We already got struck down. We sat out that transfer window, and now we're back. But I tell you, man.
So are you guys letting Mason Mount go or Giroud?
Giroud might go. I could see Werner go.
Really? Y'all just got him.
Yeah, but listen, man. Chelsea is a, what have you done for me lately sort of organization, man. And he's not scoring the goals that we expected. Certain players, man, it's just hard to adapt to that Premier League, no matter how prolific you were, in your previous league. And I mean, he's done some good things, but not at the level of a Chelsea striker. I mean, you got to understand, we expect Didier Drogba, goal scoring theatrics. That's what we expect, period.
I mean, he came out good, though. The beginning of the year, he came out good.
Yeah, but he fizzled real fast. You know, the guy that I think is on the move is Pulisic, Captain America.
You think he's going to get sold too?
He's the one that's on the outs. Yeah. Mm. And I mean, I think he's what I said he was a long time ago. He's a mid-level club player in the Premier League.
He'd be great at Wolves or something.
Yeah, I like him at a West Brom,
So, or he could be Jesse Lingard. Like how he wasn't ready for Manchester, but he's out there killing it at West Ham.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. He looks like he'd make so much sense at West Ham. And he's made them really sharp in their attack. So I like that.
Yeah, they're going to probably make at least the Europa this year because of him.
Yeah, he's doing
good. And I don't like, what's the dude for them, man? The dude that looks the big old clunky looking dude for West Ham, brother, with the braids.
Oh, with the braids?
Yeah.
Antonio, I think it's Antonio.
Yeah. He's too big to be that pussy, man.
I kind of like him, though.
He's always getting, knocked down. I'm like, dude, you're 6'4", 300 pounds probably. People always knocking him down.
I think that he does play a lot to try to get fouls and whatnot, but I have also seen him pure strength and determination score goals that he should not have scored.
That's true. But he should be more like Lukaku. Lukaku's going to run through the paint. You ain't going to knock him down.
Lukaku knows that he's the physical specimen, and he plays to that strength. Where Antonio, I think he knows that he's physical, but he wants to be prim and proper on the ball versus using that athleticism to his full capacity.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's keep it moving. We got you want to talk about Luke Shaw, man?
Yeah. I gotta give it up, man. We talked on the phone about this.
You had a tweet that went out literally. It was like right before he had his run too. He was like, "Why is everyone so hype about Luke Shaw?" This is about maybe like a month ago. I got a screenshot. I have it saved here. I'm gonna pull it up for our listeners here now. right before the game, Luke Shaw balled out.
Hey, listen, man. Even the best of the best get it wrong sometimes. And listen, like I say, man, I tip my hat to you. You called it. You saw something that I didn't see. So, hey, man.
Tell us edition made him like, yo, I may be out of here.
Yeah, and you know, he did come off a really bad injury, and it takes time. It takes time. And it took him a little longer, I think, to really come back to 100%. And I like what I'm seeing out of him now, because, like, I watched the last maybe, what, two or three games, and I was like, hey, this works.
Yeah, Luke Shaw is out there killing.
Yeah,
he's shout out to Luke Shaw, man. I ain't a friend. I was like, man, why is Tellus not playing?
Now it makes sense.
Why don't we paid for the best player on Porto and he ain't playing? What's going on?
You're right. He really stepped up because he's keeping Tellus on the bench. He really
is. Tellus is a sniper though on the low for like from free kicks and for corners.
Yeah, you're right.
And he need to give him more time too, man. Tellus, but I don't know how we're gonna be able to get that, but. And did you, I want to give a special FU to Lindelof. for some reason, shout out to Double D. He said Milan gave Lindelof the perfect game to look like the best player he could ever look like in the last game. Because he's like, they didn't bring out, he's like, they didn't do it. They did everything you don't need to do for Lindelof to look good. Like, yeah. He's going to be able to come late on plays, he said, and like make a late tackle. And like, oh my God, look at Lindelof everywhere.
And, you know, I think really what he proved is that he is a Serie A, an Italian league player. the pace of the game there, I think, suits him. This Premier League.
And you know what? You might be onto something.
Because
he was an all-star against Milan.
I put a wager down that that's where he ends up. Absolutely.
That's a good point. I didn't even think about that. And that might have been like a little guest starring role for him. Like, oh, okay, well, you could play in this league.
He might have just earned himself a nice little bag in Italy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, man, shout out to Luke Shaw. So you want to get into this Donny Van de Beek thing, man.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I was hoping that you would reciprocate the love because now we're starting to see I saw a headline today. Where they're starting to try to determine, you know, where are they going to sell him to? Because he's definitely not getting a lot of playing time. He's not worth the $40 million price tag. That's a lot of money for a backup midfielder in your already heavy midfield team. I mean, with Pogba, you know, your Portuguese, you got Fred in there.
You got McTominay.
I mean.
Mata. Wamada, Matic, all them play midfield.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, do you think is he going to get sold in the summer?
I mean, the rumor is that we're going to try to package him in a swap and throw in 20 mil for Varane from Real Madrid.
If you could pull it off, that makes a lot of sense. It's
all now we have to also remember who our general manager is.
Yeah.
So yes, that is a great like package deal for us to come up with. Everybody's like, everybody I tell that, they'd be like, oh no, that's actually a good thing for both teams. That means we're not gonna do it.
What so, we're not gonna be able to execute.
Even though that makes sense for both squads, we're gonna give you him plus 20 mil, you know what I'm saying? And then we take Varane.
I mean, it'll be something as silly as like not signing some paperwork on a transfer and then the window closes. We've seen them screw up, you know, by paperwork and signatures and not performing the physical one time and this, that, and the other. So
I mean the key of Donny Van de Beek is if Pogba's coming back or not. That's the and Pogba is really kind of holding us hostage right now, basically.
With that kind of talent level, that's exactly what
you can. I would too though. I ain't mad at him. I ain't mad at that man. You know
I mean do I even need to ask which one do you want?
Of course. I mean, we're going to have Pogba. Okay. But now this is the other one. Juventus won. I'll take Ronaldo off your hands in a swap.
Even at his age?
I only need him for 2 or 3 years until we can get Greenwood going.
Man. See?
Because Greenwood is the heir apparent to that central striker spot. Everybody else is coming in is just goes holding spot for us. That's why I'm willing to take Big Daddy Harry Kane for 3 years there in that spot.
I like Greenwood, but I'm not sold though. I mean, like
he's the future at that center forward spot. I'm telling you.
You jump out there so early, man.
Not early. That's not early.
I like what he brings to the table, but I just don't feel the consistency. I don't feel
he's only 19.
Still, we've seen 19-year-olds take over the world.
Yeah, okay, but they have they taken over at Manchester United besides Rooney?
I mean, how far back you want to go? I mean, Beckham was what, 1920 when he came up?
Okay. In the modern era, in the last 20 years, nobody's come to Manchester United in 19 because we've always had vets. Like, you always kind of got to sit your spot. Now, the dude that you need to watch out for is my man Diallo. That's the sleeper cat.
I wasn't buying a lot of the hype when he first got signed.
You saw the header against Milan, though?
And his height, too, because he only like 5'7", 5'8".
Yeah, that was anticipation of knowing where the ball was. Like,
and the skill to be able to do that, stay on side.
That was on a 6'3" defender.
Yeah, you're right.
Now we may have to take a step back to take a step forward, because if we lose Pogba, that's going to hurt us. Like, we're going to take a crater. It's going to be about upgrading Diallo. That's why I think you switch Greenwood over to center, move Diallo up to the other wing.
What about your other young winger, the one that is with the club right now, James? I like him a lot.
You talking about Sonic? We call him Sonic the Hedgehog amongst the Manchester United nation.
That's right.
He's a great backup and a great sustain, but Diallo is going to be that guy, man. He's only 17 and was doing that, man.
I already get the feeling from Diallo like he's got that special sauce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's got an extra couple of tricks in his bag. And I like
I mean, James is good. James would be great at like a West Ham or something. Like, he would be at Excel. It's gonna be like, if he's cool with really how Mata and Matic are, where they're like, yo, I'm just gonna kind of get in where I fit in. But if he doesn't want to do that, he's gonna need to go to Wolves or go to Spurs is falling off so much now. He can go to Spurs even and maybe get his game up.
Possible. Yeah, you're right.
Because I think Spurs is going to fall apart. That's why I'm saying it's going to be a fire sale, I think, on all these guys.
Spurs definitely has a lot of problems, man, right now. I mean, they have similar front office problems like you guys do. I mean, Daniel Levy, he's a complete nut job when it comes to selling players or buying players.
And they're cheap.
Yeah, he's proven that time and time again. You got Mourinho as the coach. He's a ticking, walking, living time bomb. You never know. You know what Mourinho's going to do, and the club. You know, a lot of the players, the talent, starting to get older. And like you're saying, your boy Kane. You know, people start looking for brighter pastures.
You got to think, Kane's never really got the win yet.
And everybody wants to lift trophies. You know what I mean? But you know, they do got that huge, you know, beautiful stadium that they really haven't been able to really enjoy and kick off. You know, so I mean, facilities wise, being in London. They are a big club, you know, so who knows?
I mean, numbers-wise, is it probably, Arsenal, y'all, then Spurs, then West Ham for London?
I mean, of course, I'm going to say Chelsea first.
No, I'm talking numbers-wise of people, not that are fans.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not saying necessarily like most – I'm just saying, like, the number amount of fans that you would just see in London that would just be that fan.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Because it would be Arsenal first, right?
Arsenal first, yeah.
Yeah. So Arsenal, y'all – then Spurs. But Spurs was damn near at one point like at the same level as West Ham for a long time, right?
And pushing Arsenal once upon a time.
Yeah.
So that's why I won't count them out. I mean, they stick around and they put up a good fight year over year.
Yeah. let's jump into some Champions League recap. Let's talk about the brackets, man. Your Chelsea boys, man, have the Eastern Conference. As I told you on the phone, they have the Eastern Conference route. In the NBA in the 2000s to the championship, you know, the New Jersey Nets going to the finals three years in a row.
Listen, they all count the same. They all count the same appearances wise. We got Porto.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's going to be a tough match, man. Yep. You know, they know slouches. They definitely got talent at every position. But hey, listen, man, you know, I'm waving that mighty, mighty Chelsea flag. I think we're going to be right on camera. Right.
Is there a way that you all would not retain your manager and get to the finals and still not retain him? Is there a scenario?